for us to get to be here with you, and I thank your pastor. I've enjoyed to meet him a few times now out and about other than the church. I know during the camp meeting he's an awful busy man, a lot of hands to shake, a lot of people to greet, and I just appreciate to get to meet him like we have, and you have a prince. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but you have a prince of a pastor. I'm not trying to build him up, but it doesn't take long to find that out, and I appreciate the privilege to get to know him and his wife just a little bit. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to John 18, the Gospel according to John in the 18th chapter. And I want to look at a couple of verses here and try to make note of what the Lord has dealt in my heart about in this passage of Scripture. John 18 and verse 38, we'll read one verse of Scripture. The familiarity of the passage will certainly lay the background as I read it. You'll know exactly where I am. The Lord now has been delivered into Pilate's hand and is about to be crucified. And that's where we find ourselves in the Scriptures. Now, if you will, take just a moment. Let's stand as I read this one verse of Scripture, just for the stretching of your legs. Been sitting while I've been blabbering, so that'll give you a chance to let the blood flow again. Amen. John 18, 38. If you found your place here in the Scripture, we'll read. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And what a question that is. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God this day. And Lord, for the opportunity to be here with these good people. And Lord, to share with them what you've placed in our hearts, Lord, for our lives. I pray, God, Lord, that you'd work in their hearts, Lord, a greater burden for America and to reach those that are around them. Lord, I don't believe that you're done with us, and I don't believe you're gone yet, you're not saving souls. So, Father, I pray that in the days in which we live, help us to make the most of the opportunities that you've given us. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, for the hour that we're in. Father, Lord, help us to focus our hearts, mind, and attention upon the Scripture and what we find herein. I pray, God, Lord, that you'd add your blessings unto the reading of thy word. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help me to preach, Lord, in a way that be pleasing unto you. Lord, for those that are here tonight, Lord, that have a question in their heart about their salvation, Lord, let this be the glad day that they settle that. I pray for those, Lord, that are in the house tonight, Lord, who are heavy burden, Lord, under the things of this world, God, under sickness, death, Lord, whatever it may be. I pray, God, Lord, that you'd help us to set aside those things for a little while, Lord, and realizing that, Lord, that if we rest them in your hands, it'll work out. Father, I pray that you'd help us to focus our hearts, minds, and attentions upon, Lord, the words tonight that you'd have us to preach. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We find ourselves here in the Scripture as the Lord has gone in before Pilate, and he tells him there in verse 37, he said, Pilate therefore said, unto him art thou a king? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate saith unto him, as the Lord has just really laid this load on him, he said, What is truth? And man, what a question that Pilate had. Pilate was confronted with the truth that day. He had a situation on his hand. The Jews had delivered the Lord to be crucified. He knew he was an innocent man. And as he comes there, I think Pilate was really trying to do everything that he could as a man to deliver him. We know that he was delivered unto the determinate council by the will of God. It was God's will that the Lord be here. And Pilate's asking him, he said, Man, I'm trying to help you out here. Are you a king? And he said, Hey, you said it, man. I am. And he said here, and tells him there, ask him the question. He said, What is the truth? As Pilate was confronted with him. Pilate, him here, to Pilate it may have been hard to tell. He was mixed up in politics. He had to deal with the religion of the Jews. He had to deal with a lot of things in his day. And you know what? It could have been very hard for Pilate to tell what the truth. He heard so many things. Now you got to think about Pilate's responsibility over this nation as he governed it. Hey, when things went wrong, it was his head that would be held responsible for this thing. Hey, it was his life that was on the line. If the Jews revolted and they had a war down there, it was to fall on him. He had to worry about those who'd come into his life every day and would tell him this. And hey, Pilate, you need to be thinking this way. Pilate, you need to be doing this, making these kind of decisions. I bet Pilate had a hard time of who he could trust and the ones he could listen to. He probably had a hard time of knowing what truth was. You know, I believe in our day it's exactly that way. Man, people hear so many things about so many different situations. Hey, people in their lives want answers. Friend, hey, people are fearful. They're worried about the future. They're worried about what's going on in their life. There are uncertainties on every corner and every area of their life. And everybody just wants to know what a little bit of truth is. If I had a little bit of truth, I'd have something to lay hold to. I'd have something that I could go on if I just knew what truth was. We hear it in our political scene so many times, so many promises that are made, and yet when they get into office, they don't deliver, they change their views, something goes wrong, and what once so many people bought into becomes the greatest lie ever told. Me and the brother were talking before service tonight how that back when the Mormon religion was started, can you imagine the lies that that man must have told when he was getting people to buy into it? Hey, listen, they had no technology, no electronics, nothing that they could tell. Hey, and this man came up with a story, I found some magic glasses to read some golden tablets that tells us the way to go. And people bought it. What is truth? How can people know for sure? I'm sure for Pilate, it was hard to tell. This was the same question I believe the world is asking today. Well, some believe that truth is determined by the individual. A lot of people in the western part of the United States, especially the New Age movement, truth is determined by you. Makes no difference on what you believe, if it's fact or not. If you believe it to be true, then it's true. And we find here that to the scholar, it is the education and learning, only to find the textbooks rewritten days later. To the addict, it would be nothing more than one lie of the one more high that he might find, only to need at the end of that high that he finds that he needs another fix. He's looking for something in his life. To the religious, it's nothing more than ceremonies and rituals, only to begin again tomorrow. To those who are politicians, it can be bought or sold to the highest bidder in the circumstance and the situation that would bring you the most votes. We find here that truth sometimes is a hard thing to know. I believe the world's looking for truth. I believe that people are looking for truth. I believe they have a desire that God has fixed down in their soul that makes in them to search it out, to find something to fill that void. It was the same void that you had in your life when God's Holy Spirit came to you where you were that day, and He began to draw you and to woo you and to tell you that you were lost, that you were wrong, and that you needed salvation. It was that hole of conviction that began to work in your life. Now, you may have fought it for a while and put other things in. A lot of people, they'll put jobs in that hole only to find that after many years of working, there's no satisfaction in it and there was really no security. And after all those time of wasting, they become sorrowful that they look back on their life and they wasted it working. I believe people are looking for it. They go out, they look for it in many things, recreation, whatever, and they're looking for something to fill that void and make them happy. I told you I got saved as a small boy. And listen, I believe it was God Almighty. It was that size of hole in my heart that made me realize I needed something. I look back on my life and I think, man, what it would have been if it would have been a Muslim fellow that was telling me of this story. What I would have believed anything to got out of hell. Just to be honest with you, I knew I was dying lost without Christ. And when I went to talk to my pastor that day, I would have believed whatever it was he told me. I had confidence in him, but I would have believed anything. I got to thinking about that one time. I'd have believed him if he's Muslim. I'd have believed him if he was a Jew. I'd have believed him if he was an Indian. I'd have believed him if he told me I'd eat enough dirt, I'd get to go to heaven. I'd have believed whatever that man told me that day, and I'd have put my faith and trust in it. And then I thought, well, Lord, how can I know what I had was really the truth? And in that calm voice of the Holy Spirit of God, He said, because nobody else would have told you you were lost. Because there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the truth of God's Word that draws men to you. I preached this morning out of the book of Luke over there when the Bible talked about the Lord, when the Pharisees or the publicans or the sinners drew near to hear Him, and the Pharisees and the scribes began to murmur because He receiveth and eateth with sinners. It's amazing there that the sinners and the publicans came to hear Him. They wanted to hear the Word of God, but the religious crowd didn't come to hear. All they wanted to do was talk. Listen, it was the Holy Spirit of God that worked in my heart and showed me. I was looking for it. I longed for it. Listen, nothing will satisfy you tonight like the Word of God. Nothing will make you happy short of salvation. I don't know what it is that you're dissatisfied with, but I'm telling you the truth of the Word of God will make you happy. Pilate asked, what is the truth? This word truth, we find it found in the King James Bible 233 times, the word truth. It is defined just simply as this, that which is stable. You cannot shake the truth. You cannot make it waver. It's not like a stick of Jell-O that'll just wiggle back and forth. I'm telling you, the truth of the Word of God has stickability. It is a stable thing. The truth, it is certain. The truth is certain. You cannot shake the foundation. It is established. It is that which is right. We have in our very presence the truths of the Word of God. Truth is defined as such. God wants us to know what truth is. He gives us a few things about in the Scripture of what truth are. And tonight we're going to look into God's Word to find out what truth is. Let's take your Bibles tonight in John chapter 17 there, just a verse over. Word, the Word is truth. The Word is truth. We find the first thing tonight that the Word of God is truth. John 17:17, the Scripture tells us here as Jesus is walking toward that fateful day, He's going in toward now the Garden of Gethsemane, and He's walking with His disciples, and He's praying here. In chapter 17, He tells them in verse 17, to the Father, He said, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." We find that the Bible declares itself that the Word of God is true. Take your Bibles and turn into the Psalms. Psalm 119. I love Psalm 119. Every verse has something to do with the Word of God. It's amazing, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. Don't you think God's got some importance placed upon His Word? Psalm 119 in verse number 160. The Bible said here, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever." He said, "Thy word is true." How can we know that we have the Word of God? How can we, the pastor, we were talking just a little bit earlier tonight about the Word of God. Some men say this is a book that contains the Word of God. I don't believe that. I believe this is the book that is the Word of God. I believe this is God's plan for your life. You don't need to add anything to it. There's nothing you can take out of it. I believe this is God's holy preserved Word for you and I. We find here in the Word of God that His Word is true. And I begin to look about this. How can we know that the Bible is true? How is it that we can be so certain? I had a young man came to me one time at work, and we were back there working. I've been witnessing to him, trying to get him in church. And he came to me and he told me, he said, did I say that right? Y'all looked at me funny. I've been witnessing to him, trying to get him to church. Did I say work? Okay, I didn't know what I said. That, I thought it might have come out funny. But I've been witnessing to him, trying to get him in church. And I just trying to share the Scriptures with him and trying to really just get a hold to him. And he looked at me one day. He said, "How can you know? How can you know what you have is the way to go? How can you be so sure that the Bible is true? How can you know?" And I began to think about that question. And God, and through His Word, began to show me some things. I can know that this is truth because of the probability in its writing. Do you realize the book that you hold in your lap? It is not probable that you can contain such a book. I begin to think about how it came to us and how that we got it. Do you realize that it's not probable that 40 men in different nations in three different languages over 1,500 years could pin down a book with no contradictions, not one word that will go against another? Listen, you can't get three Baptists in a church to agree on the carpet on the floor, much less these 40 men over this great period of time in all these different places. It's not probable that we can have it, but we do. I believe that the Word of God is true because of the probability in its writing. I believe that the Word of God is true because of the prophecies that are fulfilled. Boy, as you look through the Scriptures, we find in the prophecies that those things, as you go back into Isaiah and how he would tell them and name them by name, the kings that were going to come in, and Daniel began to name names, and he began to give places, and he began to give dates. And we know now through the fulfillment of time that these things came true. Hey, listen. Nostradamus and all these other characters and all those folks out there in the New Age movement, listen, I want to tell you I'm as much a prophet as they are. I'm going to give you a little bit of your future as dealt with a palm reader or a psychic hotline. I'm going to prophesy that if you'll call them and you'll give them your money, you'll be broke. Amen? Now there's something you can take to the bank. There's the one truth of that whole business that you can count on. The prophecies that are fulfilled in this Scripture, I know that it's the true Word of God. Hey, think about it. Who would have ever believed that a virgin could conceive? And yet we know that the Virgin Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ because we find it in this book. Hey, who would have ever believed that the Spirit would have been poured out like Joel prophesied on them there at the day of Pentecost, and they would have spoken languages and every man could understand and they could know the truths of this Word of God? Who would have ever thought such a thing? Hey, who would have ever believed that Christ would have been forsaken, like it told us in Psalm 22 when he called out to God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And yet we know on the cross that God turned his back on the very dear Son of his own, and he turned his back. Who would have ever thought such a thing? How could we know that Israel would have ever been a nation again? And yet throughout the scriptures we find the prophecies fulfilled. We know that it's the true word of God because of that. Also in the peculiarity of his precepts. Can you think about this in the peculiarity of his precept? Somebody said that this is nothing more than a man's book. Hey, listen, if men wrote this book, yes they did, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. We know that the holy men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to pen down this book. The peculiarity of his precepts. You say, well, listen, man, I believe that that's the Bible and it's got some good things in it, but how can I know that God wrote it? Well, let's just think about it just for a minute. If you had the chance to write the Bible, how would you have written it? Think about it just for a minute. Now, I don't want you to become carnal and wicked in here on me, but I do want you to think back with just like this. Before you got saved, what kind of person were you? All right? Now, if you weren't inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and you could write in and put in the things that you liked as a lost man, what would you put in there? To flee fornication? To abstain from strong drink? No. We wouldn't have put those things. Hey, listen, we'd have had 52 wives, and we'd have enjoyed in all the lust of the flesh, and we'd have went our own way, and we'd have laid up our treasures on this earth. But the Bible said that those things aren't right. That's how we can know that God's given us His precepts in His way, because His way are so much higher than ours' way. His thoughts are so much far above ours. We know that the Bible is true because of the peculiarity of its precepts. But also we find here that it's true because of the promise of its hearing. The promises of its hearing. Think about it. The Bible promises to bless those that hear it. In Romans chapter 10 verse 17 said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Can you imagine that the Bible said that you will gain faith through the reading and hearing of the Word? The Bible also says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." It was this word that you heard that it began to work faith in your heart, and then you were able to put your faith and trust in Him through its hearings. Also in Revelation 1:3, He said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." He said, those who read it will be blessed. Think back about your life when you got saved and how that you began to grow in the Lord and how that the Word of God took hold of your heart and your mind began to be changed. I don't think like I did a long time ago because I began to see the way God saw things. I at one time thought that alcohol was probably okay, and then I began to read in the Bible and it said it's not. It said those that are deceived by thereby are not wise. I began to think things were okay, and then I saw where God said that they're not. And God began to take my life and began to mold it and change it. And He promised in the power that's found in the Word that is contained herein. Hey, listen, there's not enough dynamite in the world to blow the wickedness out of a sinner. But I'm telling you, the Word of God through the Spirit of God and the pouring out of the truths therein, it does a great work in the body of a believer. It's a wonderful thing we have. Hey, it's no wonder that Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. Hey, don't give him your ideas. Don't give him what you think. He said, preach the truths of the Word of God because it'll work. It worked in your life. I hope it did. And it'll work for every problem, every situation that you've got. There's promises found to the hearers. But I see the power that are contained in this Word. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation." And I'm telling you, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's power in this Word. It changed your life. How can you know that the Word is true? Because of the power that's found in this Word. Listen, we look back in the Old Testament. Moses was a tremendous religious leader. Gandhi's got some pretty good ideas. If you follow Buddhism, and I don't, but if you do, I'm sure you can find some good things in it. I'm sure Hinduism has probably got a few good things in them. But the truth of the matter is, it won't change you. It will not redeem your soul. It will not set your spirit free. It will not do for you what the Word of God will do. You may be here tonight and say, I would really like to know what truth is. I have tried everything under the sun, and I'd really, really like to know. I want to tell you, you can put your faith in the Word of God because it's true. It's true. Pilate said, what is truth? The Word is truth. But the Bible also tells us of another truth. The Bible said the Lord is truth. The Word is truth, and the Lord is truth. Take your Bibles and turn to John. John 14:6. John 14:6, and we'll look at this one verse of Scripture. The Lord is truth. The Bible says here in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice there, he's truth in singleness. Hey, listen, there's not two of them. There's not another way. There's not multiple ways. All roads don't lead to heaven. And we're not all brothers in one big God. And it don't matter what you call him. Just as long as you call him something, we're all going to get there. That's not the way it works. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Everything else outside of me is a lie. It'll never change. There's never going to be another Savior. There's never going to be another Messiah. There's never going to be another way. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're looking for one thing to put every ounce of energy in you in, I'm telling you, his name is Jesus, the Lord. Lord is truth. He said, I am the truth. We find in these truth in singleness. He's also a truth in supremeness. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10 through 13, we find that. Who else can make such claims as he does there in the book of Jeremiah? Turn with me. I want to look at this real quick. Real quick. Jeremiah chapter 10. We find here some things about the supreme God. Jeremiah chapter number 10. In verse number 10, we begin reading there. The Bible said there, but the Lord is the true God. Boy, I like that. The Lord is the true God, and He is the living God, and an everlasting King. And at His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide in His indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that ye have that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. I'm telling you, there's not another God that can make such claims as our God. I'm telling you, Gandhi can't do it. I'm telling you, the New Agers can't explain it. The evolutionists don't have a good theory. I'm telling you, there's one God. He is the supreme God. He is the true God. And His name is Jesus. The Lord is truth. We find His truth in singleness. His truth in supremeness. Well, Isaiah 37:16 said, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubim, Thou art the God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth. Boy, this is the reason so many people deny Genesis chapter 1:1. This is the reason that they will not accept the creation account, because if they accept the fact that in the beginning was God, then they have to accept the fact that God created everything. Hey, well, wait a minute. If God created everything, then it must be His plan and His design. And if God planned it all and He designed it all, then He must know it all. And if God knows it all, then He must know what kind of person I am. And if God knows what kind of person I am, He knows I'm really not a good person. And if God knows I'm really not a good person, He probably knows I'm a sinner. And if I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell. And if I'm going to hell and I'm a sinner, then I'm going to need a Savior. Hey, wait a minute. The Bible said that Jesus was a Savior. And if Jesus is a Savior and I'm a sinner and I'm going to call upon Him, then I'm going to have to let everything go in my life and I'm going to have to trust Him, and that's just not going to happen, because if that does, then I'm not the authority. I had to let it go. That's why the theory of evolution is so important to them. If they lose the Big Bang, man, they've lost it all. If it didn't happen that way, then they are lost. If there is a God, then they're on their way to hell. If there was a Savior, then they needed to be redeemed. That's why so many in the world deny the creation account of the gospel. Because the Lord is truth. He's the Lord in truth in singleness. He's the Lord truth in supremeness. Boy, if they accept the Scriptures, then they're going to have to accept His Messiah. If they accept His Savior, then they must accept the fact that they need saving. And they'll never, ever let it go. I'm here to tell you tonight, you may have tried everything under the sun, Muhammad is not going to rescue you. I'm telling you, he's not coming back on white horses. I'm telling you, he's not going to catch away his believers one day. I'm telling you, there is no hope in the Pope. There is no salvation in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is truth. We find tonight in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in the other. For there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. You can rest assured tonight, if he's your Savior, you've got the true one. Amen? I find that the Word is true. It's amazing what a book we have. And God gave it to us. And how many times do we throw it in the back of our car? Let the sun bake it out, curl the pages up. The Word is truth. Abide by it. Live by it. Grow by it. Die by it. The Word is truth. The Lord is truth. I want to give you one more real quickly. The Spirit is truth. The Bible tells us that the Spirit is truth. In John, if you're still there or close, turn to John 14. We find that the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is truth. John 14 and verse 17. The Bible says here, and I will pray, in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. The Lord named Him. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. But I like that. I like that in you. I'm telling you, He came to live with us. He came to live with us and in us. And by I'm telling you, man, what a thought that a God such as He is made Himself small enough that He could fit in me. I heard a man give an explanation one time about how is it that a little girl was sitting in Sunday school one time and the little teacher came to her and said, I got a question. How is it that such a great big God come down and live in something so small? Well, the teacher said, well, I just don't know, but He does. And she said, well, if He does, won't He poke out a little bit every once in a while? Won't other people be able to see Him a little while? Won't they be able to notice that He's on the inside? Boy, the Spirit of truth will make a difference in how you walk, act, and talk, won't He? Boy, He came to indwell. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth is what the Lord called Him. Boy, we find here that He will come to testify. He'll come to indwell, but the Holy Spirit will come to testify. Turn with me, dear, just one chapter in John 15. He came to give us the truth. In John 15, though, in verse number 26, the Bible says, but when the Comforter is come, when that Spirit that is coming to indwell, when He is come, the Bible said here in verse number 26, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. I told you earlier when I was a little boy and God began to convict me, and I look back now and I think, how could I have known what I had was the truth? Because the Holy Spirit was telling me that this is the one. The Comforter came and said, listen, hey, don't worry about going to hell. If you'll just accept Him, you don't have to go. Hey, He's made a way for you. I'm glad He told me the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He'll come to testify of the Savior. But I want you to notice this in John chapter 16, just a few more verses. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, if you're here tonight and you're lost, let me direct you toward the Word of God. It is the truth, and you can rest assured in it. There's no other book like this book. If you're here tonight and you're looking for redemption, you're looking for something to liberate your soul, I want to highly recommend the Lord to you. He is truth. No other Savior like as Him. But I find here tonight that the Spirit is truth. In John chapter 16, verse number 13, we find that He's come to testify of the Lord. But in 13, the Bible said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now, He'll do that for the lost man, but He'll do that for the saved man too. Hey, listen, when you've got things that you're wondering about in your life, the Lord's not going to lead you wrong. His Holy Spirit will guide if we'll ask. He'll give you the roadmap. He'll put up the warning signs. He'll give you the directions. Hey, He's got GPS, God's positioning system. I'm telling you tonight that the Holy Spirit of God will guide you. It might be that you're trying to make decisions in your life and you know the Lord's your Savior, but you're wondering about what you're going to do. You're wondering about which way to go. You're looking for direction. And I'm telling you, the Spirit will not lead you wrong. He is the Spirit of truth. I heard a fellow preaching the other night, and I'm telling you, it has really done something in my heart. It has really made a change in the way I look at things. He was preaching the missions conference, and he was preaching on faith. And listen, if you're going to give, give by faith. If you're going to give by faith. Rationally, you can support a missionary family for a cost of a Pepsi a day. You think about that. Do you realize that if you'll give up one Pepsi a day, that each of you can support a missionary? About $30 a month. That'll get them on the field if enough people do that. Rationally. But you know what? Rationality is not faith. That's not dependent on God. Now, if you're trusting God for the dollar, that's one thing. But God doesn't want our rationality. This missionary was given the indication, or talking about here, talking about faith. He told them there in John 14. Now, go back there with me. I want to show you this. It's a wonderful thought. In John chapter 14, in verse number 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And man, when he said that, it just stuck out in my mind. Hey, and he said it. Hey, these are the same people. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Well, if I believe in him, I believe in God. They're the same person. That, you know, duh, I got that. But I want you to think about that verse of Scripture. Hey, they were worried about things. They were looking for direction in their life. They didn't understand the situation they'd soon find themselves in. And he tells them he's going away, and they're scared. And the Lord tells them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You say, well, what does that verse of Scripture mean? I believe that there was an ark. I believe Noah and his family got in it. And two by two and seven of the clean, I believe God delivered them through the flood. How many of y'all believe that? I believe that Moses led God's children out of Egypt. Y'all believe that? I don't believe Moses had an army. I believe he had a rod. The Bible said that when he went up to the Red Sea, and they were bad, their backs to it, and here come the Egyptian army, and man, the thunder of the chariots were coming, and the horses' hooves, and they began to fear. Hey, Moses, what are we going to do? You let us out here to die? And he said, God, what am I going to do? He said, what's in your hand? Put it on the water. And Moses touched the water, and the water departed. How many of y'all believe that? Y'all ever seen a lake? Now, well, look, yeah, preacher, some of them's going, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. You don't look like you believe that. You believe that, amen? Amen. How many of you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Yes. How many of you believe that the miracles of the Bible are true? How many of you believe that after 4 days that Lazarus was raised from the dead? He said, you believe in God, amen? I believe that God was a miracle-working God. I just don't know that God can pay my light bill this month. I just ain't sure that God can heal my body. I'm just not sure that God... Hey, listen, it was one thing to part the waters and deliver those millions of people through. But listen, I'm having a hard time at work. Does that make any sense whatsoever? He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. You can trust Him for the now. You say, well, how do I know what to do? I just don't have any direction in my life. He has sent the Comforter, and He will not lead you wrong. He is the Comforter of truth. God wants you tonight to know the truth in your life. Boy, some say, I'll find the truth on my own. Some people say, I don't need the Bible, and I don't need God, and I don't need His Savior. I'll find the truth on my own. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:7, the Bible said, they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Those that think they'll find it on their own. Some say, I'll believe it when I want to. Well, not according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You'll be sent a strong delusion. You'll believe a lie. I'll get saved in my own time. Not according to this Scripture. Some people say, well, I'll trust Him when I want to. Well, maybe you won't. You don't trust Him now. Why would you trust Him tomorrow? It's not what God wants. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want you wondering about how to save your soul. He didn't want you in the dark. Well, what if I reject the truth? Well, we find in Romans chapter 1 what will happen. Well, you'll be turned over to those seducing spirits and you'll go after your own lust. We find out what kind of world we're living in by those who reject the truth of His salvation. What good is the truth to me? John 8:32 said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, what a verse. What good is the truth to me? Hey, you can be free from your finances. You can be free from your worries. You can be free from your pain. You say, wait a minute, now you want them head-popping charismatics? No, I didn't say you'd be rich. I didn't say you'd be healed forever. I didn't say you'd do all those kind of things. But I'm telling you, you don't have to live under the circumstances of life. We got a God in heaven who's made a way that you can mount up with the wings of eagles. Amen. He wants you to know the truth. How long will the truth last? Well, what if I believe it today and I find out a week from now that it just wasn't so? What happens if I get let down by God? Psalm 146, verse 5 and 6 said, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. He said, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. The truths of this scripture will never pass away. Heaven and earth will, but His words won't. The truth of the fact that Jesus Christ is Savior will never change. And truth of the fact that the Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you and help you will never, ever change. Tonight, you may be looking for truth in your life. Tonight, it may be something that you have just wrestled with, you can't get free from, you're looking for something. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You'll find the truth right here for whatever it is that you're looking for. Tonight, if you're lost, if the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you, He's not lying to you. He's not trying to deceive you. He's not trying to confuse you. He's not wanting you second guessing. He's wanting you to have sure salvation. You may be here tonight and you're looking back through the times in your life. When did I get it? 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 When did it happen? I think I am. Maybe I am. I'm looking. I'm when. God wants you to know when it happened. He wants you to know the truth. Friend, tonight, if you're under the circumstances of life, God wants to help you. Let Him use His Spirit to help you. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of life and life eternal. And Lord, for the opportunity to be here in this church. God, take the truths of the Word of God tonight. Help those. Father, Lord, if there was anything said wrong or out of the way, Lord, let it be on me. And no reproach come to the name of Christ. Father, just a moment, we'll turn this over to the pastor. God, I pray that You bless the invitation time. There may be some here tonight, God, that they're struggling with things in their life. It may not be salvation, Lord. It may not be, Lord, that they doubt the Word of God. But Father, Lord, they're looking for truths in things that just happen in everyday life. Help them to realize that they can trust You for now. We believe the God of the Old Testament. Help us to believe in the God of the New Testament. Father, we commit the invitation time into Your hands. Pray and trust, Lord, that Your work be done. In Jesus' name, amen.